That should say 1 John 1 and not John 1.
1 John, right?
Yeah, it's 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Y'all ready for some cold? Are y'all ready for some calisthenics? If I catch a few of you, we're going to have to stand up.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. All right. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life of manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which is with the Father and manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy might be full. I'm going to stop right there just for a few minutes. Listen, John says it all right there. And I hope you will kind of remember John chapter 1 that I read, that I said it goes along. I'll be pulling from both of them in both of these prologues. But John says, we've seen him.
Amen.
We've handled him. We've rubbed up against him. We know him. And that's what we declare to you. He is the word of life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen and looked upon, which we have looked upon, we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon in our hands and have handled, concerning the word of life. He's called the word of life. He is in the beginning was the word. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with him. Without him, all things that were made were made. And a little bit later on in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. I wish I could make you see and feel what John was seeing and feeling. He was about to crawl out of his skin to make these people pay attention to what he was saying. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Let me read a couple verses to you here. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead are without excuse. 1 John 2:23 says this, says, whoever denies the Son of God does not have life. Whoever denies the Son of God does not have the Father either. And he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let me tell you this. You get the Son wrong, you get God wrong.
That's right.
You get the Son wrong, the Son, Jesus Christ, then you don't have the true God. That passage in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God. You get him wrong, you don't have it right anywhere. You get him wrong, listen, it's time that we took back the word Christian and Christianity. And it means one thing and only one thing: those who follow Christ. That's what it means. That's what it means, and that's what it says. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that that eternal life, which the Father, and let me start again. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and which was manifested to us. He is declaring to them the eternal life, the Word, the living Word. This is the Word that's alive. He is declaring it to them, the one who has eternal life, the one who possesses eternal life. John 20, 31, he says this about his writings. He says, these things are written to you that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And 1 John 5:12-13, he says this, he who has a son has life. He who does not have the son does not have life. These things I have written to you, that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and in the belief, this is what I get for trying to turn early, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I have only one question for you. Everybody look. Everybody up here. Right up here. Look up here. Are you born again? That's the question that I have for you. That is the one question that you've got to answer. Are you born again? It's either yes or no. It's either yes or no. This phrase, born again Christian, it's redundant. If you're born again, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're born again. You are simply either a Christian, yes, or a Christian, no. It's the only question I have. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy might be full. Psalm 16:11. It's kind of like a little mini Bible drill this morning. That's all right. 16:11. Your sorrow, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. John 15:11. One more. John 15:11. This is John 15, is the old passage. The whole thing is about the vine and the branches. And then verse 11, he goes, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You're to have some joy. You're to have it. Christ is offering it, and you are to have it. And joy and fellowship. Fellowship is, well, I'll get into that in a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute. But joy is a byproduct of a life lived with Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness. These are all fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, if you belong to God and you are connected to the branch and you are the vine, you are going to produce fruit that is joy. And that's going to be in your life and be a part of your life. It's a byproduct of a life that's full of God and that is full of following him. I ought to make a stand up because that's breaking point right there. Just kind of move around a little bit. I got to do something to keep y'all awake. I do. Huh? I know. You are. I know. This is the message which we have heard and from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Light is everything that God is, all goodness, all kindness, all love. It is darkness, is the absence of those things. It is the absence of God. But here's, let me read verse John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, Jesus is the light of the world. God is light. Jesus is God. Jesus is light. He is the light of the world. And to follow him, to live according to the ways that he would have us to live, is to walk in the light. So what do we do to make sure that, well, what do we do to try to justify walking in darkness, to walking out of fellowship with him? You see, fellowship with him is communion. It is a sharing of thoughts and of it's a sharing. And if I'm walking with Jesus, then I'm sharing with him. And this is a message which we have heard from him and declare from you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we're walking in the light, there is no darkness at all.
That's right.
It has to flee. Vice versa, if we're walking in darkness, the light has to flee. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The bottom line that what we do here is we lie. We lie. We tell lies. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Well, let me read the next verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So which is it? Am I once saved, always saved? Am I when he's forgiven me of my sins, I'm forgiven? Or do I have sins? Do I have sins that I have to confess and get rid of? Well, there are two kinds of sins. There's a judicial sin, and I've just picked out a verse. I've cherry-picked it for you guys who like to think I cherry-picked. The answer is yes. But there are more. In him, talking about in Christ, we have redemption.
Amen.
Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him, there is a judicial, there is a judgment. There is a part of God that says that once I came to him, I was bound, made clean, and I was made clean forever to his honor and glory. Then there is what we'll call family. There are those family sins. James 3:2. Let's read those. 3:2 and 3:8. Well, now, there it is. James 3:2, 3:8. For if we all stumble in many things, for we all stumble in many things. That's a declaration. We do stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect. He is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body. If I don't stumble, then I'm able to bridle my own body. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. The tongue. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? If I'm going to walk with God and I'm going to have fellowship with God, then I've got to be seeking to walk with Christ and seeking to obey him and seeking to put things under his authority as I walk. Next, we begin to lie to ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I used to know a guy. It was a pretty good liar. No, actually, he was a terrible liar. He'd be lying to you, and he'd know that you knew he was lying to you. And he'd know that you knew that he was a liar. And he'd tell it anyways. He'd tell it anyways. And he'd stand on it. He knows you know he's a liar. And he, listen, some of you and I are very much like this at different points in our life. 2 Samuel 11 and 12. It's a story of David and Bathsheba. The sinner. The sin. He didn't just fall down on his face and confess it to God. David. King David. Man after God's own heart. He lived in it for a while. You know the story? He was up on top of his palace walking around, and he looked down and he saw Bathsheba, and she was taking a shower, a bath, somewhat. And he called for her, and he had her brought, and he slept with her and got her pregnant. And her husband was part of David's army, and he had him sent to the front. First, he called him home and said, you're home. You can go and be with your wife. And he, no, I'm not going to. So then he gave him a message that during the battle, the hardest battle, he was to be sent out front, and he was killed. Now, this is David. You get that, right? This is David. And he comes back. No, he doesn't come back. He was killed, and David is just going on about his life like nothing ever happened. I'm going to read to you a few verses from 2 Samuel chapter 12. He's going on about his life until he's confronted with it by God, by God's prophet. And God's prophet tells, well, I'll just read it. The rich man had... Then the Lord said to Nathan, sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said to him, there were two men in the city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. This poor man had nothing except a little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate his own food and drank from his own cup. It lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfarer man who had come to him. And he took him, the poor man's lamb, and prepared it for the man who had come to him. You get the idea? He steals the poor man's lamb and he slaughters it for his guest. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, this man shall surely die. Nathan said to David, verse 7, you are the man. You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king and gave king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. Listen to verse 8. And I gave you your master's house and wives into your keeping, and I gave you the house of Israel with Judah. Listen to this. And if it had been too little, I also would have given you much more. I gave and gave and gave and gave. And you, David, you are the man. David had to come, and he had to confess his sin. Now, there's a whole thing in there about his confession and about the length of confession and about the death of the son and all that. But if we confess our sins, Confess means to say the same thing as God says. You know what? We need to name it and say the same things. God, I'm an adulterer. Lord, all the sexual sins, adultery, homosexuality, transgender, all of them, they're sin against you. I've got to confess them and say the same thing that God says about them. Adultery, you say to flee. You say to run. You say to not even acknowledge it. Run and get out of there. To homosexuality and transgender, you made one man and one woman together forever. You, God, are like that. How about some other things? How about the sin of the tongue? This is a good one for nobody wants to admit, they're adulterers or this, that, and the other. What about the sin of your tongue? What about the sin that would slay somebody with this right here and would chew them up with this right here? It's about time we got on our hands and knees. We confessed our sin to God. We said the same thing about it. We said that it's wrong and we named it. Because he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us.
Amen.
If confession is made, he'll forgive. If confession is made, he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The other thing we do is we become liars. We say that we make ourselves out to be liars, and then we call God a liar after a while. If we say we have not sinned, I'm going to dip into chapter 2. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you again so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. We say that God's a liar. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar. Listen, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. Someone to stand alongside. To stand beside us. And it is the Son of the Judge. And he says, Father, this one belongs to me. He becomes our propitiation for our sins. Big word. See if I can explain it. I don't know. God is just, and because he's just, he has to declare a punishment upon sin, and then he has to mete it out. And the propitiation says that that was enough. The propitiation says that Christ dying was enough for our sins. Was it enough for you? Yeah. Was he standing beside you? Yeah, Christ, he died, and he stood beside us. Stand up with me if you would. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what is happening today in your life. I know the question you've got to answer is, are you born again? That's the question for you. Are you born again? If you need to come forward this morning for any reason, if you need to come to the altar, you come. If you need to come, have me pray with you, I'd be happy to. Whatever you need to do this morning, you come.
Just as I am.